Change your mind. Amen. Praise God. We had about probably a 20% drop in attendance this year to the convention. I guess it was because we changed the date. Not sure, but we'll go with that for now. But we had bought enough food to feed those 20% more people. And so when they didn't show up, I said, well, we'll go ahead and eat it ourselves. Amen. So, as Steve's all for it, he said amen. So after we dismissed this morning, we're going to go out there and gather around the table of the Lord and just kind of have a good time together. Amen. So don't forget that, and be planning on it this morning. Turn with me this morning to the 122nd Psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Notice verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Notice verses 1 and verses 9. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Verse 9, because of the house of God, I will seek thy good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. We ask you to bless the message and the messenger, those who hear. Give us ears to hear. Open our hands and our hearts today to receive spiritually the things that you're going to say to us through your word. Prosper your word among us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This series of messages, if you'll notice in your Bible, it says, A Song of Degrees of David. There are 15 of these Songs of Degrees. They begin with the 120th Psalm, and of course they go numbered consecutively to 135. There are 15 of them all together, I think. And each one is a song that some of the historians tell us that the children of Israel quoted these psalms when they were brought from the land of Babylon back to the land of Israel, the pilgrims that returned, the captives that had been taken to Babylon. Bob Mumford has a book called 15 Steps Out, I think. It's a good little book, but I'm taking a completely different concept of these psalms than he did. What I saw in these psalms when I began to study them was that they represented not 15 steps out, but 15 steps in both directions, up and down. Now, you might say, Brother Potter, how can that be? How can you go up when you're going down? Well, that's the kingdom of God, isn't it? Amen. In the kingdom of God, you go up by going down. Amen. Praise God. It sounds paradoxical, but it's true. And this, to me, represents, and what we're going to title the tapes, 15 Steps of Surrender. Because every step you take in the kingdom of God is a step of surrender personally. Amen. So you go up in spirit and down personally. Amen. So keep that in mind. The word house, let us go to the house of God or the house of the Lord. The word house is the Hebrew word bayit or bayit, depending on how you pronounce it. And it's an all-inclusive word. It can describe any kind of a house. It can describe a cocoon that a caterpillar lives in, because that's his house. Amen. It can describe a palace that a king lives in. It's still, it's something that, an established fixed structure built out of some kind of material. That's basically what it describes. It is used 2,048 times in the Old Testament scripture. But when it becomes combined with God's name, it becomes something that you and I are very familiar with. It becomes the term Bethel. Bethel. We will touch on that in just a few minutes. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now we might take this particular expression for granted. It is so common today for us to see churches on almost every corner. We see different denominations, but still, there's not many places in this town that you can drive very long on one street that you're not going to see a church somewhere. David says that he wants to go into the house of God. That will mean something to you, I think, in a few moments, so just bear with me. One of the first evidences of a real experience with God is the desire to be in God's house. Amen. You aren't comfortable. How many of you noticed when God came into your life that you were no longer comfortable where you used to go? Now, I'm talking about not Winn-Dixie. I'm not talking about the mall. But what I am talking about is if you used to hang around in the bars and the taverns, that you just don't feel comfortable there anymore. Amen. You don't feel comfortable around the old places. You don't feel comfortable around the old crowd. There seems to be a wall or something that's been put up between you and them. And as church time nears for you, then there is something in your heart that says, I need to be in the house of God. I need to be spending time with my brethren. Amen. There's something about the house of God. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I want to drop back to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. And I want to read you something here that David is alluding to, but it's from when Jacob was running away from home. He was awakened by a dream that God gave him about a ladder between heaven and earth. It reached from heaven to earth, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And when he awakened out of his sleep, verse 16, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid. Now, the word afraid here, it means to be awe-stricken. Have you ever just suddenly realized the presence of God and the fear of the Lord that comes into your heart? I'm not talking about an unnatural fear. I'm talking about that awe of God, that reverence for God. I was afraid, and I said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Now, keep that in mind, because we're going to refer to that again as we go along. Jacob was at a place called Luz when he had this dream. It later was changed to Bethel, a little town. In fact, it's still in Israel, a place called Bethel. But Jacob described this place as a place where heaven and earth were connected. And I want you to keep this in your spirit this morning, because we're going to talk about this connection. Amen. There was a time in the history of man when he walked and talked in the presence of God and had fellowship with God. Every day, the Bible tells us that God came down in the cool of the evening and walked and talked with Adam. They communed together. We don't know how long this went on, but whenever sin came into the Garden of Eden and Adam fell by transgression, he was driven out of the garden and driven out of the presence of God. God, from time to time after that, communicated with man on a limited basis, but there was no certain dwelling place. God had no house. Keep that in mind. Here, Brother Potter, we got a lot of things to keep in mind. Well, maybe you can handle it. All right. What I'm trying to say was, until Jacob understood this, there was no place on earth known to man where heaven and earth had a place to meet. I've often thought of it, if I can describe it this way, something that maybe we can get an idea in our minds about. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? You ever seen pictures of the Grand Canyon? You can stand on one side and way, way miles away, there's another side. There's no way that you can reach the other side without going way around like this. But now, just think about the Grand Canyon being something that went all the way around the earth. And there was no possible way to get from one side of the earth to the other side of the earth. That's almost what it's like between heaven and earth. There was no place, because God had driven man out of his presence, there was absolutely no place on the earth anywhere where man could find God. Now, maybe this hasn't settled into your spirit yet. You take for granted the fact that you can come and worship God. You take for granted, but you stop and think about people that lived many years ago. There was no place on earth where God could be found. No place. There was no place on earth that was called God's house. There was no place on earth that God dwelt. Man tried to break that gap when he built the Tower of Babel. But he was going the wrong way. That's why God stopped him. Only heaven can reach down and touch man. We cannot reach up and touch God. We are incapable of reaching up and touching God. It is God who reaches down and touches us. All the other religions of the world show man trying to reach up and touch God. Christianity is the only religion, with its Judo customs, ethics, that reveals a God trying to reach down and touch man. Whenever God began to speak to Moses about the tabernacle was that church in the wilderness that was movable. They had to move with it because they had not come to a certain dwelling place then. But God shared with Moses how to build this tabernacle, this tent of meeting. Now notice it, tent of meeting. What kind of meeting is it? It is a place where man can go into a house, even though it is a portable one. And this word house here, it can describe a tent. It can describe a cocoon, like I said. It can describe a palace. But it's just a place built out of some kind of material where somebody dwells. And when God told Moses how to build their tabernacle, it was called the tent of meeting because it was the only place on this earth where God would meet man. It's very hard for us to understand this with what we have today. God told Moses, be careful that you make it exactly after the pattern. He did not tell Moses, you go put up some kind of a structure and I'll come down and I'll accept whatever you do. He did not do that. He said, you have to make it exactly according to the pattern. So many cubits, so many spans, so high, made out of certain colors. He described everything. He left nothing whatsoever to Moses' imagination. Everything must be built in a certain way, because God had initiated a way that he could dwell with man. But because of the sin of man, he could not dwell openly with man. Man had to go through certain ceremonies and certain cleansings and certain rituals to even come into the presence of God. Even the high priest, the consecrated man of God, the sanctified man of God, if he were to come into the presence of God without the shed blood upon him, he would die instantly. He had to have the blood of the lamb upon his earlobe of his right ear, upon his thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. He had to come in the right way. Amen. He had to come in with the blood applied, because if he did not come in with that blood, God would kill him instantly. Now, that never crosses your mind when you come into the house of God, do you? Does it? That there is the chance that you come into this house the wrong way and God might strike you dead. But in the times of the Old Testament, before Christ died and became our sacrifice and opened the way for you and I into the presence of God, there were places, there were times when people died in the presence of God. The Bible tells us that two of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, decided one day that they would offer strange fire to God. Why? Because it must have been a little bit too much out of the way to go get the real fire. So, you know, they said, well, fire's fire. We'll just offer unto God this sacrifice, this incense or whatever it was. And the Bible said when they did that, fire from God came out and burned them to a cinder. Now you say, Brother Potter, God must have been mighty mean. No, he was not. But there were certain things that had to be done, and God said, you have to do it this way or you will die. Man in his sin could not approach the presence of God. He had to come by the way that God described, or he would die in the presence of God. Man's sin would invoke the very judgment of God. His sin had to be covered in order to come into God's presence. There was a terrible penalty for taking the things of God for granted. Remember in the scripture how that the Levites one time found the Ark of the Covenant coming down the field, sent back from the Philistines, and they got it and they looked into it, and thousands of people died that day because they violated the Ark of God. You remember the story of how the young man reached up and touched the Ark of God just to keep it from falling, and God struck him dead. There were certain things about the things of God that had to be honored and respected. And I do wish to say this today, that our generation is in great danger for their disrespect for the house of God. I'll leave that to you in God. But I think we need to have a greater respect for the house that we meet together and honor God's presence. The rest of the psalm, we're just on verse 1. But the rest of the psalm is dedicated to the blessing of Jerusalem. And there's a reason. Because God hath chosen this place to put His house. Think about it just a minute. David is calling God's blessing upon Jerusalem because it is the place where God's house dwells. Notice verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. God has put it upon David's heart to bless Jerusalem because it is the place where God's house is. It is the place where the Ark of the Covenant rested. It is a place for the house of God, the place where heaven meets earth. There is today still great blessings where God chooses to dwell. Amen. As Paul Harvey says, page 3. Did you know that you did not choose God? He chose you. Should I say it again? You did not choose God. He chose you. He chose us. He chose to dwell in us. Paul tells us that we are the temple of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You are therefore the temple of God. You are a house for God. You want to know where Bethel is? Look in the mirror. You want to know where the house of God is? Look in the mirror. You are the house of God. Now this building, yes, we've dedicated it as a house to come together and worship God. But the church, the word in the Greek is ecclesia. It means those who have decided they wanted to be religious. No, wait a minute. I don't think it's that, is it? No. He did not say it is those who have decided they want to be religious. No, the word ecclesia in the Greek, it means those whom God has called out. God calls your name. God calls you out. And He says, I want to dwell in you. I want you to be Bethel. I want you to be a temple. I want you to be my house. God called you for Himself, and you are among the most privileged people in the world. I think we take for granted too much the indwelling presence of God in our life. No wonder Paul went on to tell us, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Paul said in this 11th chapter, of 1 Corinthians, there are many that are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, not discerning that they are the Lord's house. Brother Potter, you didn't quote that right. I did. I quoted it exactly as it means it. There are many weak among you, and many sleep, many sick, many, he meant in death. There are many that sleep in death. Why? Not discerning the Lord's body. What did he mean? That we are the body of Christ. And many people get sick and die early. Because they do not reverence the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within them. And they do things that offend the Spirit of God. And it brings God's judgment upon this body. Now, I'm not trying to make you afraid. I'm trying to give you the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is different than just fear. Satan brings fear to our life, but it is God who brings the fear of the Lord. I hear people saying things about God today in jokes. I tremble when I hear it. Amen. We need to understand and reverence the fact that God dwells within us. Our experience with God demands that we become a holy vessel, dedicated and sanctified unto His use. The Holy Spirit, when He comes into our life, goes from room to room in our heart. Sister Kathy's not here this morning, but she sings a song sometime about a room in her heart she didn't want the Lord to go to. And I think there are many of us that have rooms in our heart we try to steer the Lord around. A Fibber McGee's closet, so to speak. If you understand that, that will date you. Amen. Years ago on the radio, they used to have a program called Fibber McGee and Molly. And every time Fibber McGee opened his closet, you would hear crash, bang, slam, smam all over the place. How many of us have got a closet like that where we've taken all the junk of our life and piled it in there, and we don't want God to look in there? Because there are things in there that will resist God. There are things in there that must be brought to surrender and the blood of Christ applied to our heart. You know, I've seen people in their walk with God. They start out and they think that because they have eaten the lamb and left Egypt, that that's all there is to it. It's not. There's a daily dealing of God with every one of us. And that daily dealing of God is something that teaches us to walk in His way. And as I said in the beginning, every step that you take with God is always a step of surrender. Always. You're going to have to lay down something in your life that hinders your walking with Him. I remember one time, very vividly, the Spirit of God dealing with me about something, and I was walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden we just came to this place where we just didn't go forward or backward, but we just stayed there. And when I began to pray about the situation, the Lord said, "This is as far as you can go until you make that surrender." And God was letting me know, "You can't go any further with me until you make the surrender of this thing. And once you make that surrender, then we can go on." Look at the life of Abraham. God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans. He couldn't go any further with God. There never would have been a son Isaac born. There never would have been a revelation of circumcision. There never would have been a putting Isaac on the altar later if he had never left the place of the Chaldeans. One revelation of God, one dealing of God depends upon the other dealing of God. You never step from the bottom step to the top step in one leap. Now, I've seen people try that. But you stop and think about trying to step up 15 steps at one time. You're not going to make it. Not unless you're the amazing rubber man or something like that. Steps are made so that you can take them one at a time. You can't take the second step or the third step or the fourth step till you've taken the first step. I've seen people try it, and they try to walk with God, and they try to develop a relationship with God, and they try to skip something in walking with God, but it never works. God will always bring you back and say, we can't go any further. You'll never develop. You'll never be what I want you to be until you take that step. And it's always a step of surrender. I remember God told me one time about taking a certain step, and I didn't want to take it. I'll be honest with you. It meant putting down something that I really liked to do, enjoyed. Wasn't all that wrong, but it's something that I enjoyed. Anything's wrong that hinders God's movement in your life. And God just literally let me stay there and be miserable. He just said, are you ready to make that surrender yet? If I had said no, he would have left me there again. Sometimes God deals with our heart about surrendering. And we say no to God. And so he leaves us where we are. We never change. We never grow. We never develop. We never become anything more than what we are. Years later, he comes back. Are you ready to surrender yet? If we say no, he goes on again. But what a blessed event it is when God comes and says, are you ready? And you say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I can't stand this misery any longer. I've got to have the best for my life. I've got to have your best, God. If there's a cry in your heart today to be the best that you can be in God, to let God do something special in your life, that's the thing that's going to move you upward and onward. There has to be that place. Bob Mumford mentioned in his book, the only goal some Christians have, and you've heard it said, is going to heaven when they die. Now, heaven's a good place to go when you die. Hello? I mean, when you consider the alternative, heaven's a mighty fine place to wind up when you die. But that is not my goal, and it should not be yours. Listen carefully. The goal of the Christian life is not go to heaven when I die. It is that I might know Him. In the third chapter of Philippians, Paul did not say, oh, that I might go to heaven when I die. He didn't say that. He said, oh, that I might know Him, that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of God. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, I press on. This is what Christianity is all about. It is not just having a place to land when you leave this mortal soil. Christianity, true Christianity, is surrendering to the life of Jesus within you that people in this world may see Christ in us. That we may be submitted and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to the point that He may use us at any time, at any place, for His glory. And that's why He called you. That's why He put His hand on you. That's why He chose you. Paul said it. Galatians, the first chapter, and this is why He chose me. He chose me from my mother's womb that He might reveal His Son in me. You and I do not have a different calling than did Paul. We have been called to be vessels through which God may reveal Himself to a lost and dying world. No wonder David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord." Back then he was talking about a structure of stone, a structure of wood, of masonry, a structure where men could come in and be close to the presence of God. There was first a tabernacle in the wilderness, then there was a temple of stone. But now there's something different. It is no longer a temple of stone, it is a temple of flesh that God dwells in. And you and I are the temple of God. We are the Bethel of God. We are the place that God dwells. But how little do we recognize that? How little do we think of that? When we ought to. I remember a song many years ago. I haven't heard the song lately. One of you good singers around here find it. I wish you'd sing it for me. Amen? Because of Calvary, I don't live there anymore. Folks, there's places I used to live. There's places I used to go. There are things I used to do that I don't do anymore. Hallelujah. Because of Calvary. Because of Calvary, there's been a change in my life and a change in my heart and a change in the places I go and the things I do and the things I say. Because I'm not the same person that I used to be. Jesus has come into my life to live there. He's come into your life to live there. And our experiences need to understand this. Because of Calvary, we don't live there anymore. I changed course. I will wind up in heaven one of these days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm heaven bound. But that's not my goal. Somebody said one time, "Well, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is go see Jesus." Folks, we got to take Him with us. Hallelujah. We got to take Him with us. We need to be able, like Paul, to say to the world, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. The life that I live now, I live in such a way that people see Christ in me, and to die, that's heaven, that's gain. Hallelujah. But our life needs to be governed by that fact today, that for me to live is Christ, and to die, that's heaven. Amen. I hope God has dealt with you through this message this morning. We need to have more reverence of the house of God, this house and this house. I like what Jerry said the other night when he was testifying. When this thing's over with, I want to be found in the no smoking section. You know, the Bible talked about the smoke of their torment came up forever. Well, I don't want to be in that section. I want to be in the no smoking, no burning section. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word to us this morning. Thank You for the anointing that we have felt in the presence of God that is among us.
May we have learned or gleaned from the Scriptures today and from the Spirit of God that we are the house of God, and therefore we must respect that house. We must open our lives to You, God, in such a way that all of Jerusalem is blessed because we are there. Father, thank You for today. Bless the food to our bodies now as we go out and gather around the table together. Bless us as we fellowship with one another. Let us be reminded that our fellowship is always with You also. Thank You, Father, for today. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I guess they're ready.